Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about it. We're covering AI. Hey there, beautiful piano teachers. It's time. We're going to talk about something today that, honestly, I don't want to talk about. But I feel like it's important that we have this conversation. So we're going to get into it. You absolutely do not have to agree with my thoughts, but I hope that this will open up your mind and allow you to think about this topic, because it's not something we can just go with the flow on. It's something we need to make conscious decisions about if we're going to have happy, fulfilled piano teacher lives. Yes, today we're talking about AI. So I'm really not here to preach at you or tell you what to do. That's not what I want this to be. I just want to share my personal thoughts and how I'm thinking about this and plodding through this space that we're in right now, where all of this AI stuff exists. Again, you don't have to agree with me. I don't mind if you disagree with me. I would love to hear your dissenting opinions, whatever they may be, in the comments. But I hope we can open up this conversation together. And I think that me sharing how I've been thinking about this might help your thought process too. So I've gradually been growing more and more concerned about this whole AI thing. I never loved it, I'll be honest. I didn't hear about these tools coming out and go, oh, amazing. I've actually had my eye on this probably for longer than most people, because of certain people that I follow who are right on the edge of this, and they were telling me this stuff was coming. So I knew that. And yet, with all the optimism that I have and that those people who are sharing about this have, it unfortunately is going down a certain path, and I have concerns about that. And the thing is, I feel like with some kind of an online presence, I have an opportunity to make some tiny impact on the way this is going, or at least, as I say, open up the conversation, get us to think. Because there's so many things that have happened in human history that have just rolled on, okay? They've just sort of happened with a sort of snowball effect. And then looking back, the humans have said, I kind of wish that wasn't the way that it is. I kind of wish we didn't take those steps so that we ended up in a different place than where we are now. And I feel that way about AI. Not that we should shut it all down, necessarily. Although I think we should be questioning the companies that are in charge of this situation. However, my big concerns are about the way we are interacting with it. I have two categories for my concerns: human investment and environmental impact. The second one is easier to explain, right? I think you've probably heard about this by now. AI uses an enormous amount of energy. And yes, we can be hopeful that energy sources are going to get cleaner and all of this. Great. They're not right now. A lot of the things that seem like just fun actually have this huge environmental impact that I think if most of us had it in front of our face, if we were forced to face up to the thing, just like on so many different environments, if humans actually have to look at the thing that they're doing flippantly, not judging you if you've done this, I have too, but we do these things without much thought. And if we can see the consequences, I think it's different. So I think we have to be wising up to that. I think we have to be looking at those consequences and really reckoning with how we use this stuff. Again, not to say do not use it at all. I'm not talking about a boycott, but I think we need to be intentional and careful and considerate in how we use these things, not just as an individual human, but also as a human who has an impact on young people around us, right? They might not be there every time you're using AI, but you are kind of leading the way, right? We're the grown-ups in the room. We need to think about this stuff and present a good example. So that's the environmental impact. The human investment piece, I think, is stickier and not more important than the environment, but more important to think about because it's even more obscured. It's even less apparent what we're doing. and how it's going to impact things down the track, but I believe that it is. So when I talk about human investment, what I mean is some of the things that we're doing with AI are causing us to lose an opportunity to practice and invest in ourselves. Not everything, but a lot of the things. And this is where I think we need to be careful with what we use AI for and make some conscious decisions about what we actually want to do with it. Because humans are designed, we're made up to be in the moment and make a decision that is not really in our best interest long term. It's not the person we want to be or the qualities we want to have long term, but it's just what's happening right now, and we deal with the urgent issue instead of the important one. So personally, I've been trying to slow down and think about when I'm using AI, ChatGPT, other AI tools. I was never really out of control with it, to be honest. I was never going crazy, but I was noticing myself going to ChatGPT more for various things. And I wanted to question that, to question when and why I was doing each of those things on that site rather than Googling it or thinking about it or doing the work myself. So here's the questions I started to ask myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself when you're about to use one of these tools. First one is, I'm going to get AI to do this thing. Do I wish I was better at this thing? So, an example, I'm going to get AI to write an introductory paragraph to something. Do I wish I was better at writing the introductions to things? Is that a skill I want to improve? And this can be for anything, right? Coming up with an idea for X, writing the thing for Y, coming up with a table of data. Do you wish you were better at that skill? And the answer can be no. The answer can be, actually, I don't care to learn this. This is not something I want to do, like to do, need to do in my work or in my life in general. Great, then maybe AI is the best case. This is a good case for using AI for that thing, right? Maybe this is the place for it. But if you're about to use AI and it's for something that you actually really want to get better at yourself, you are not going to get better by seeing AI's example. You're just not. It's not going to happen. You have to do it yourself. You could then get AI to check it. If you're like, I wish I was better at grammar, don't get AI to write the thing. Write the thing with your poor grammar and ask AI to analyze it and provide you with feedback that you can learn from, maybe. But do your best try first. Okay, question number two. These are in random order. Is this adding value to the world, or is it essential to my work in some way? We're doing important work, right? We're teaching children about music. Maybe you have other creative projects. That's important. That's probably adding value to the world. But then because of that, you might get in the habit of using one of these tools, and it might cause you to go straight to them, even when it's not going to add anything to the world, even when it's just for goofiness. I'm all for goofiness, but do it on paper. Like, do your goofy little doodle on paper. Don't get AI to do it. Please don't use this generate me as this in AI. It's just the environmental impact versus the value you're getting out of that. And the destruction, honestly, of human creativity is too painful for me to bear. Again, when I say you, I'm really talking to myself. Like, that's how I talk to myself about this stuff. I'm not trying to prescribe that you do something. This is just a thought process. So I ask myself, is this really going to add value to the world? Like, am I taking this shortcut using AI because this work is so important and I want to get it out there and this is part of how I'm going to get it there? Okay, that's one thing. Again, my next question, is this morally okay? Here I'm really just talking about stealing. I mean, maybe I'm more keenly aware of this as a person who has created online content, but like, it's not okay. What they've done with stealing from all of these websites, and it is stealing, like they stole all my articles, basically. If you look up information about piano teaching, if you ask it a question about piano teaching, generally you're going to get an answer that is a composite of me and several other online creators who have been blogging and investing in this stuff for years. We put a lot of work into this. I know this is the reality. I know I have to accept it, so I do. But that doesn't make it morally okay. And I try my best to ask that question for other industries. Not to never use it because it's morally bankrupt, but maybe there's an argument for that if I was even stronger on the issue. But to ask myself, what is this really doing? Like, where is it getting the information from? How is it going to come up with this answer? And is it just pillaging other people's work in a way that detracts from them having put that work out there, in a way that is going to cause them to be unable to put that work out there and increase the volume in future? If so, I try not to ask AI about that question because I don't want to encourage that way of things, because then it's going to become more and more reductive over time. If the incentives are against people putting out information on something obscure that there isn't a lot on the internet about, let's say, miniature glass mosaics, okay? I haven't looked it up, but I'm guessing there's a few specialist people who talk about it and not a ton. AI is just pulling from a few sources. Those few sources are supported in some way, okay? They're supported maybe just by goodwill. Maybe they just like putting the information out there. They like people coming to their website and commenting on that stuff or doing that on YouTube or whatever. Well, they're going to lose that if you get the answer from AI. Maybe they have products on their website that they sell, and this is how they attract you to their website so that you can see the products, and if you're interested, you buy them. AI means that you're never going to go there. So in future, they're not going to be able to provide that service writing more about miniature glass mosaics. If you want to know more about skills that haven't been covered online yet, it's not going to happen because ChatGPT and others are just taking that info and passing it off as their own. So there's other cases with that, and there's a lot within the music space. I'm not going to get the depth of everything we could think about there, but at least at a broad level, just ask yourself, do I feel okay about this in the pit of my stomach? Does this feel like, yeah, it's okay? Next question. Am I simply avoiding short-term pain or friction? This is the question that prompted me to want to record this and to get over my misgivings about putting this stuff online about AI when it's quite contentious at the moment. But I think this is what I'm seeing the most with people. Avoiding short-term pain. Now, again, that's okay if that's allowing you to get great work out into the world, to do your job better, to do something that matters. And it is not cutting off your ability to do the thing better in the future. But in a lot of cases, that's what's happening. I mean, the classic case of this is college students or school students using AI to write their essays. I think we can all, as adults, hopefully most of us, agree that that's not helping them. That's not the point of education. And it's not going to get them anywhere. It's not like they read that answer from AI and think, oh, now the next time I'll be able to do it myself. That's not what's happening. What's happening is it just does the work for them. So they're avoiding the short-term pain. The long-term gain would have been that they educate themselves, right? That they get better, that they get feedback from their teacher and they improve at writing an essay, or they learn more about whatever they're learning about. So it's easy when you put it at a distance, when you, if you're not a student, look at students and say, they're just cheating themselves, right? But we're cheating ourselves. We're doing it a lot. So we need to be careful. We need to say, am I opening this browser tab just because I don't want the short-term pain of figuring this out? But there is actually a long-term gain of figuring it out myself. This next question is a big one. It pains me to ask it because I wish AI hadn't gone down this road already, but I did suspect that this was going to happen before it started. Is this work supposed to be creative? Is the work you're getting AI to do creative? Because the thing is, we're voting by using it in certain ways. We're voting for what it gets better at. I want to vote for it getting better at the things basically no human wants to do. Mundanity, right? That's what I want it to get better at. So if you summarize these questions together so far, I want to use AI in my ideal self. I'm using it for things that are incredibly dull, teach me nothing in some way that's useful to me, get me towards work that is important as I see it. So if I ask myself, is this a creative task? And I say yes, no. I might use other tools, like if it's a creative word task, I might go to the thesaurus, but I do not get AI to do that. And yes, I could go to AI and say, give me loads of synonyms for this word. But it's going to offer to do more. It sucks you in, right? It's going to say, oh, here's loads of synonyms for happy that you could use. Are you writing something? Do you want some help? Right? Because it's the ultimate sycophant. And it's going to praise me into thinking I'm doing something that I'm not. So if my work is creative, I do not open it. That's my little rule for myself. I do not want it to do anything creative. Visually, musically, in terms of writing, anything. No. Creative work, in my world anyway, should not be done by this tool because I don't want it to take over creative work. And every time I ask it to draw something for me, I'm teaching it to be better at drawing things so that it takes over from humans who want to draw things. That's not okay with me. Final question, and again, they're in no particular order, it's kind of random. I'm hoping that one or more of these is useful for you and you take that away, not the whole list. But my final suggestion for a question you could ask to think about this is, am I trying to learn something or just get information? Right? So a classic case of this for me, and this might seem to contradict where I'm talking about doing important work, but for me, it is contributing to important work down the track, right? The classic case where I think ChatGPT is amazing, and I love that it exists, is when I need a cable. So dull, right? But that's what I wanted to do, dull things. I need a particular cable. This happened, the best example, this has been a few times because I deal with a lot of technology, right? And I don't know everything about every technology. And it's actually quite hard for me to get access to a human who does. So, one time I was trying to replace my setup for my camera, which is an overhead camera above my piano, which I use to record videos of scale, exercises, whatever. So that's above my piano. And my computer in my teaching space has to be on the opposite side of the room. It's just the way things are. And so I have to have a long cable to connect those things, which causes lots of problems. And I had been through a couple of different iterations of this particular USB cable setup because it's just prone to failure over time. Anyway, this is where ChatGPT comes up gangbusters, right? Because you get to put it in, like, this is what I'm trying to achieve. This is how I've achieved it. This is the flaw that it fails and I get this error and blah, blah, blah. I do not have the bandwidth, the information, the expertise to be able to figure out another solution. And the solution I came up with using Ethernet cables, I never would have come up with without having a friend who is way more techie than me. And I didn't have that. To me, that's ideal. I'm not trying to learn something. I don't really want to know more about these cables than I have to. I just want to know enough that I buy the correct cable and I want to have someone where I can show them the link to the cable I'm about to buy and say, correct, yes? And it will say, yes. And then I just get to buy it and use it and it lasts longer, right? So it's kind of lowering some environmental impact, even though I'm using ChatGPT to get there and using lots of water, etc. I'm doing my best. And it's contributing to important work for me, but it is not an area that I want to get better at. I just want the minimum knowledge for my particular situation. I don't want to know about every possible variation of that scenario. So those are some questions to get you thinking. Again, I would love to hear your comments, your thoughts in the chat, even if you totally disagree with me, that is fine. I'll make a quick note right here before I go any further that I am not saying AI is bad. I'm not saying it can't do wonderful things for people who are marginalized by society and need tools. But what I'm saying is, let's make it do that. Let's invest in things. Let's vote with how we use it in it doing the things that really matter. and it could do amazing things for, and it not doing the things that humans should do. Okay, in case you, like me, want to slow down your use of AI, here's how I did it. I think I started this maybe in December-ish. It wasn't a New Year's thing, but it might have been around that time that I started saying, okay, I need to slow down. I can feel it becoming more of an instinct to open up that tab and ask ChatGPT to do something or research something that I really feel I should actually do if I step back and think about it. So here's what I did. Rule number one, the tab cannot stay open. It can stay open while I do that task, but it can't stay there. I have to close it when I'm done. Simple, easy, but it makes a big difference. Because I'm just adding a little bit of friction to asking it. So I have time to ask myself these questions, to think slightly about why I'm going to use this instead of a search engine. I also pause before I open the tab. I literally, like, I reach for my mouse to open the tab. I'm thinking about it and I freeze. That's when I think, do I want to do this? I don't chastise myself if I do it on instinct and then think, oh, why did I do that there? I shouldn't have done that. I'm not about giving out to myself, but I do most of the time pause first, say, do I really want to do it this way? Or is there a better way to do it? Could I take my notebook and go sit outside and think about this problem instead? Would that be better? And if I'm unsure during that pause, if I pause there and I think, am I going to be able to do this on my own? Does it fulfill those criteria? Like, I'm not trying to introduce loads of complexity into my life. But if I have a moment of like, gut check, not quite sure, I will just search engine, for me, Ecosia, search for it first. So I make it my instinct to go there, unless I'm sure that the AI is going to be the way that I can do this and that I really am going to spend a long time doing it via a search engine, which, like the cables, totally, that would have taken absolutely forever and I still would have bought the wrong thing, I can guarantee it. So if I'm sure it's an AI job, great, fine. If I'm not sure, I try searching first and see if a few minutes of that gets me to the result, gets me to think about it differently. And then I can always close it and open AI later. But I try to make search my first instinct still, because I just don't think it's right that we're using it as a search engine when there's a perfectly good search engine. Now, Google is going to shove in your face the AI summary anyway. I mentioned Ecosia. There's various other search engines that will not do that. So if you want to go a little bit more old school as in like a year ago, for how you use your search engine, then you go there. Because the AI summary, again, you're not going to people's websites, so they're not getting any benefit from that. That's just Google is the only person who gets benefit, and they took all the information from those websites. That's the reality of the matter. If you find it useful and it really helps you, fair enough. Again, I'm not trying to preach to you or tell you how to do things or make you feel bad about anything, but just maybe the instinct is try regular search engine without that stuff turned on first, and then go to AI if you need it or want it, rather than it being a gut instinct reaction. So I said I was going to share my messy thoughts, and I did. This is not a prescription. I don't know how you could use it as a prescription, because it's still a bit of a mess, but I do feel like I have a better balance with this the last 3-ish months, maybe more, that I've been thinking about this stuff, being more careful and intentional about how I use these tools, and trying not to turn to them for things that really I would prefer to do myself if I look a little bit more long term. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please continue the conversation in the comments. Let me know how you use AI, whether you've totally boycotted it, whether you use it all the time and you love it and I'm totally wrong about the downsides of it. Maybe some of the questions you ask yourself about it to decide these things, if you use it sometimes like me or sparingly like me, and any other thoughts that come up for you. I would love to hear from you. If you ever get overwhelmed by all the different teacher training options out there, Vibrant Music Teaching is the place for you. We nickname our members flamingos because they're masters of balancing all of the things. and making it all work in a way that isn't overwhelming. We have tools to help you do that inside Vibrant Music Teaching. So go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.